Shavuos Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav 7-6. In the previous Mishnah, we talked about a dispute between a customer and the shopkeeper regarding credit. Now here in this Mishnah, we're going to talk about a dispute whether or not the customer actually paid for the goods that he's acquiring from the shopkeeper. And again, we'll resolve with the Shavuah, and therefore it really belongs over here in this Masechta, in this Perek over here. And these are Rabbinic Shavuahs. And I'm going to explain this Mishnah according to the Bar Tanura, who goes like the Rambam and the Ran, which is reflected also in the Shulchan Aruch. I have to speak out that the Rashi learns this Mishnah a little differently, but I'm not gonna go with the Rashi read at all here. The Mishnah is hard enough as it is. So the Mishnah inside says, Amar lechen vani, if the customer says to the shopkeeper, Ten li b'dinar peros, I'd like to buy a dinar worth of produce from you. V'nasan lo, and the shopkeeper complies by giving him the produce. Now, the way the Bar Tanura learns, I said, unlike Rashi, is that the shopkeeper takes the produce, you know, the sack of flour, and he puts it out in the street in front of the shop, meaning that there's actually, in truth, no formal kinyan performed by the customer. Therefore, the customer doesn't legally actually own it yet. At the moment, the sack of flour, let's say, that's being purchased, is sitting in kind of a no man's land, halachic no man's land. There's no muchsuk currently. No one's actually holding it, right? Sitting in the public domain. Amar lo, and now the shopkeeper says, okay, I put the sack of flour out there in the front of the shop for you. Ten li es dinar. Time for you to pay me the money you owe me. Amar lo, so the customer says, what are you talking about? Nasativ lacha v'nasato ban pili. What do you mean? I already paid you for that sack of flour. I gave you the dinar, and you put it into the cash register. And pili means like a sack for money. So now we have a dispute. Who should get that sack of flour? Says the Mishnah, Yishba Bal HaBayis. The Bal HaBayis should take a shvua that in fact he did already pay, and then he can take the sack of flour. So you see, really, without this takana, so since the shopkeeper is saying he got nothing and there's no acquisition done by the Bal HaBayis, so then really he wouldn't be able to take it yet, that sack of flour. But given that the shopkeeper brought it outside and everyone's agreeing, the reason why the shopkeeper took the sack of flour to put it outside in the street was because he was intending to give it now to the customer. It's just a question of if the customer paid or not. So therefore, Chazal see the more fair thing to do is that the Bal HaBayis has the option of taking a shvua and taking possession of the sack of flour if he so chooses. The second case of the Mishnah is kind of the other way around, where the question, let me speak outside for a second first, is when the shopkeeper pays the sack of flour, the argument is whether this is now to pay for flour that was already received or now to pay for flour that has not yet been received. Okay, so the question is now the shopkeeper is saying, what do you mean? I already gave you the flour and you can't take a second bag of flour. Just like the first case here was the customer saying, what do you mean? I already gave you the money and you can't have a second payment for of money. So inside the Mishnah says here, Nasan lo es dinar. If the customer gives the money to the shopkeeper, Amar lo ten li es haperos, and he says, okay, now time has come for you to give me the produce. Amar lo nasatim lecha. What do you mean? I already gave you the peros, v'ho lachtin l'soch beisecha. I already gave you the sack of flour, and you took it home. Now you're coming back. You're supposed to pay me for the sack I already gave you. And the Bal HaBayis is saying, what are you talking about? I didn't take any sack of flour yet. Now, the way the Bar Tanura learns is that what's happening here is that the sack of flour, there is a sack of flour sitting in front of the shop in the street. And he's essentially saying, you know, can you guys load up that sack of flour into the back of my pickup truck? So there's a sack of flour in the street. So now, who should get to keep that sack of flour? So in this case, they both agreed the money handed over was for the purchase. They're not agreeing at all who that sack of flour goes to. It wasn't, according to the shopkeeper, that sack of flour has been there for somebody else to come and buy it. It's out there for sale. Says the Mishnah, therefore the rabbis thought the fair thing to do was Yishava Chenvani. The shopkeeper should be able to swear and say, nope, I gave this to you already. You took it home. The money that you gave me in my hand now is mine to keep. And that sack of flour there is, you know, for the next person to come by. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. They thought that was the fair thing to do. Again, because the owner here hasn't taken the customer, I should say, hasn't taken possession of the sack at all, so they're on equal footing in terms of disputing the sack of flour, but everyone's agreeing that the money was handed over for the sake of the purchase to the Baal HaBayis. Okay? Now, on this second point, the Bartner learns, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shaperes biyado, if anyone who has, so to speak, literally means whoever has currently in his hand the produce. But what he's referring to here, according to Bartanura, is the produce which is now sitting in front of the street, in front of the shop, in the street. That's really strange. Why would a person put something that could be stolen in the street unless he had already sold it? So therefore, obviously, that was put there for the sake of the customer now taking possession of it. That's Rebuta's position, and therefore that's more reasonable, and therefore, yado al elyona. He, the customer, has the upper hand, meaning he has the option of saying, listen, obviously you wouldn't have put the flour out there unless it was mine to take. You wouldn't put it out there for some random person to come and steal or whatever. That's how it works. That's Rebuta's position, and therefore he holds that the shopkeeper, having put it out there, indicates that he had already been paid for it, and therefore the customer has the option of swearing and taking the flour. Now, halacha is like the Tanna Kamma, meaning in the second case, the shopkeeper could swear that what's in front of his shop is his own property, and that sack of flour is for sale for the next guy. He'd be believed. The whole shvuas, both sides, revolve around the fact that no one is currently holding the sack of flour. Certainly, if the sack of flour remained in someone's hands, physical possession, so as always the case, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law in Jewish and halacha, and you're the muchzak. So if in the first case, the customer had the sack of flour in his hands, he wouldn't have to swear even. He could say, motzi mecheva levaraya. And same goes in the second case. If the sack of flour hadn't been moved into the street, the shopkeeper could say, listen, it's obviously mine, and I'm not transferring it to you. What you took, you already took, and that's that. And the money is in my hand, I'm keeping it. Okay, so that's the first case, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but halacha is like Tanna Kamma. Now, the second part of the Mishnah is really the exact same thing again. The difference is, instead of giving money in exchange for a sack of flour, it's giving a large coin, a dinar, $100 bill, for the sake of making change, getting lots of small coins, ma'os. And in the time of the Mishnah, that was a normal thing to do. They didn't have banks, and the shopkeepers had all the change. Therefore, it would be normal to ask if the shopkeepers make change. So the exact same setup now comes. The Mishnah says inside, Amar l'shulchani, the customer says to the shopkeeper, Tenli b'dinar ma'os, give me change, ma'os, for a dinar, for a $100 bill. V'nasan lo, and the shopkeeper puts a sack of small coins in the street, in front of his shop, according to the Bartanura, without the customer taking physical possession, making a kinyan, Amar lo, tenli es a dinar. So now the shopkeeper says, okay, time to pay, give me the $100 bill. Amar lo, but the customer says, what are you talking about? Nasatev lechav nasato ban pili. I gave it to you, and you put it into your cash register. So what do you mean? I'm not going to pay you a second time. So now we're stuck. Says the Mishnah, Yishava Baal HaBayis. Again, the Baal HaBayis has the option of swearing and taking the sack of change that's in front of the store home with him. The idea being same as before. They're agreeing the money's put out there for the customer. So they're agreeing on that. Then they're agreeing if the money has to be paid now or again. And therefore, he'll be allowed to keep what's out there for him. It's more fair, but he has to swear he paid and he'll be able to keep it. That's in the Rabbanon. Again, this is another example, by the way. This whole Mishnah is an example. This first case example of the person being taking a shvua and the shvua sanolim, he's swearing and taking. So there's a question, why wasn't this case listed in the Mishnah Aleph, the first of the parak, which said there are five cases where the person swears and takes. This is a sixth case where a person swears and takes, where the produce is, or the pile of cash is sitting in the front of the street in front of the store. So the Ron suggests the difference is this is taken from a public place as opposed to a person's, directly from a person, so it's a different kind of extraction. Whatever the case is, that's what the Mishnah is saying. The second, I'll call it case 2b of the Mishnah, is, says the Mishnah, Nasan lo es a dinar. First, the customer gives the dinar, the $100 bill, to the shopkeeper. Amar lo tenli es a mos. So now he says, okay, now I'll give you the money, give me the change. Amar lo, nasatam lecha, Vishlachtim l'soch kisecha. He says, the shopkeeper says, what do you mean? I already gave you the change and you put it inside your wallet. in kisechas, I don't know, into your purse. So now, again, yishava shulchani, in this case, since everyone agrees that there's a sack of change in front of the store, but the shulchani is saying, that's not yours, that's someone else's sack of change. So, and since he never took possession of it, but the shulchani definitely has the $100 bill in his hand, and everyone agrees that was the sake of an exchange. So therefore, the shulchani has the upper hand. Yishava shulchani, he's allowed to swear and keep the dinar, the $100 bill, you know, so to speak, that's in his hands, and he won't have to give a second, you know, sack of coins from his perspective. Reb Huda again disagrees. Reb Huda Omer ein derech shulchani liten iser ad shiitol dinaro. Reb Huda again says, what are you talking about? People don't put sacks of money in front of their store unless they've been paid for already. So the fact that it's out there proves that it's for the customer to collect. And that being the case, according to Reb Huda, the customer indeed can keep the money, because that seems to be the more likely scenario. He just has to swear that he already paid for it by giving the $100 bill, the dinar, ahead of time. Again, halacha like Tana Kama, not like Reb Huda. So in this latter case, the shopkeeper could swear and not hand over the sack of cash that's sitting in front of his shop.